You're listening to TV Madness with your host, Makisha Madden-Toby. Today's guest is Bronson Pinchot. You probably remember him from Perfect Strangers, which was on ABC for at least 10 years or so. But he's more than that. There's more to Bronson than that. Of course, he was in movies like Risky Business, True Romance, Beverly Hills Cops, like several of them, and First Wives Club. But today, Bronson is going to talk to us about his new show on the DIY Network, The Bronson Pinchot Project, which airs 9:30 p.m. Saturdays on DIY. Bronson?
No, 10:30.
10:30. Okay. 10:30. I got it right. It's 10:30 Eastern time, right? East Coast.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks for doing the show.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. How's it going?
Good, good, good. No complaints. I got you. So that's good. That's all I need. All I need is you, Bronson.
You got me.
So tell us about the show.
The show is, I think, unique among, well, we don't say reality anymore. That's a dirty word now because of those stupid shows where they really prostitute reality. They cheat and they manipulate stuff, and it's not reality at all. So when something is truly real, we have to say unscripted now because they've ruined that lovely word,
exactly,
reality.
Exactly.
But it's actually simply a record of what I have done for years and years, way before I ever considered taking my passion and my hobby for restoring old houses. Before I ever took it public, I've been doing it for many years. But I live in a tiny town in way, way out in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania, nowhere near anything fancy, 152 miles from Philadelphia.
Wow.
And I have a little group of houses from the 1830s, and I can't quite say I restore them because I make them something they never were. I knock out floors and walls and make big loft-like rooms.
That's exciting.
But I resurfaced them after I stabilized the buildings and checked out the wiring and plumbing. I resurfaced the floors and walls and windows with architectural salvage from other buildings of the period so that when you walk in or even when you walk up to the building, because we do the outsides too, part of your brain says, this is completely original because mm-hmm. it's got worn off paint and it's got the color and everything. And yet, wait a second. And then you walk in and there's 17-foot ceilings, which is not what they had in that period. And yet everything feels old. So it's kind of, I'm not exactly restoring them. I'm recreating them, but I recreate them with period salvage. And I've got all my guys are very local.
Okay.
They're all from within a 15-mile radius, and they've all been with me for years. And we just get on with what I have always done. We have a load of fun, and we create these amazing rooms and how people can, because it is the DIY Network.
Right.
We explain things so people can share the process. But other than that, I don't change anything. I sometimes will do a whole day's work in my pajamas if I feel like it.
Nice.
And it's exactly the way I live. No, nothing at all.
Was it hard getting used to the cameras being there? I mean, if this is something you do all the time, not in front of cameras, obviously. So was it sort of hard?
The boys had to get used to the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in front of cameras half my natural life.
Right.
So to me, I know that it's a very simple technique. You don't try to forget about the camera any more than you forget. You can't really make your mind forget about anything, but my technique on film and on stage has always been just get more interested in what you're doing
mm-hmm.
than you are in how you're being watched, and then you'll be fine. So I have never had a problem with the camera. I'm comfortable with it. The boys just followed my lead because I said, cool. we're not going to act up.
Mm-hmm.
Although we're such good friends, a lot of funny things do happen. A lot of crazy things do happen. But they just followed my lead, and they all, for a lot of guys, some of whom have never even been to a big city,
mm-hmm.
never been near cameras or anything like that. But they all picked up the vibration for me of just get on with it. It's just a camera. It's
right.
no big deal.
Cool.
And so they all became naturals, light years faster than even young professional actors do.
You know,
they just are great. And we just have a great time. And they all love watching the show. They they get a kick out of it, and their families watch. And even after the shows aired, they didn't get kind of like show-offy or change anything. They just were all just getting on with it.
I love it. So when people were you afraid, I guess, doing the show that people were going to be like, okay, do a Balky impersonation or be Balky, and you're like, I'm not that guy.
No, I don't ever fear that. I deal with it as it comes along. I don't fear anything like that. I you know, occasionally someone will say some sweet little thing, and if they're nice, I don't care what they do. If they're if they're rude,
right,
then they won't get very much from me. Although I do, there was a group of younger girls. They were like in their teens and early 20s in the parking lot of the supermarket. And a little old lady inside had said to me, oh, I always loved when you did that. And would you do that voice? So I leaned into her ear and I just whispered something because she was adorable.
Aww.
And then outside in the parking lot, there was a group of 17-year-old girls. And they said, okay, now do it for us. I said, I don't do anything on command. They said, well,
Good
you did
you.
It for that little... You did it for the little old lady. I said, that's because she broke my heart. She was so sweet. And you don't have nice manners, and I'm not doing anything on command. You empowered little spoiled brat. I'm not into it. I did not say it in a mean way. I said it with a twinkle, but I said, just because you're all in tight jeans with your pierced noses and you think you're amazing.
Tight jeans?
Said,
what?
No, it's not. That's not the way it is.
Good.
And they really couldn't believe it. I said, it's get over your little entitled self.
Good.
Don't order me around. That's because she's adorable and sweet and good.
And you're not. Yeah. Good for you.
And I often say, you know, I'll tell you this story. I was playing a complete vicious, blood-covered murderer in a movie called The Langoliers, and I had never done anything like that before, so I asked the assistant director, just keep everyone well away from me because I don't really know what I'm going to have to do to myself mentally to play this evil guy, and I don't want to be distracted at all. I don't want anyone coming up and talking to me because I don't know what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, okay, and I was hiding around the corner from the camera getting ready for a scene, and I was covered with blood, too.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, something pulled on my pants. I didn't know what it was. I had my eyes closed. I opened up my eyes, and it was a little 3-year-old girl and her
Aww.
Granny. And I said, how did you find me? And they said, we want to take a picture.
What?
And I said to the little girl, aren't you frightened by all this blood? And she said, no. And I said to the grandma, well, how did you find me? She said, we saw you when we walked back here. I said, well, I'm not going to say no to them. So we took a little picture, and they went away. And the assistant director said to me, I don't know how they slipped by. Are you mad? I said, no, I'm not mad. How would I be mad at those two? They're priceless. There's no way I'd be angry. So we went back to filming. And then 3 days later, I was hiding again. I do a scene where I murdered somebody.
What?
And I feel a tug on my pants. And it was the little girl and the grandma again. And I said, you again? And they said, we want you to sign the picture now.
Oh, I love it.
And I signed it, and they went away. And the assistant director
Aww.
Said, I don't know how they should do it. I said, look, I just learned a valuable lesson. There's no way I would show them any kind of attitude. And I said, since I've done it twice and gone back to shooting, and I obviously don't need to be hiding like that.
I love
it. From that point on, I just started to be my own silly self, and that's how they taught me. That little girl, who must now be about 20, but
oh,
that
wow.
little girl and that little grandma taught me, they helped me, because I realized I didn't need that. So from then on, no matter what I was doing, I thought, no, you don't need to go hide underneath the airplane hangar. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I wouldn't have known any the other way. They just must have come to teach me a lesson because they were so cute. I wouldn't have dreamed of saying anything to them. And from that point on, I was able to do what I needed to do without having to pull away.
Yeah, that or the little girl grew up to be like an assassin or something because her ability to just...
No, she was so sweet
wow.
and so cute. teeny.
Aww.
She was no more than three. And I said, aren't you scared of all this blood? She said, no.
Oh, I love that story, Bronson.
So she was absolutely angelic. And the little granny was tiny, too. Tiny little thing. Maybe she was a great granny because she was at least 70 and the little girl was three. Maybe she was a great grandmother or something. But I said, am I not terrifying anybody here? Kind of reminded me in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy takes the scarecrow off the thing and he says, did I scare you? And she says, no.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I didn't think so. But it was like that. And so, and I never did it again. I never needed to kind of go off and be like an intense method actor again. I just realized I could snap out of it and snap into it.
That's awesome.
So when people say, you know, whatever they want to say, I take it little by little. That's the other day I was at a family smorgasbord place, and the lady I was with went off to go get herself a salad, and I was getting some string beans.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman came up to me and said, you know who you look like? And I said, no, which was a lie. I knew she was going to say it. She said, you know who you look like? I said, no. She said, you look like that Bronson Pinchot. I said, really? I have no idea who that is. I wasn't sure where it was going to go, and I just wanted to have dinner.
You're like, I'm not in the mood for Balky.
She said, oh, he was in this and that and the other thing. I said, well, never heard of him. And she kept looking at me. She said, honestly, you could enter a lookalike competition. You really could. I said, well, I don't know why I'd want to do a thing like that. So my lady friend was watching this whole thing from about 5 feet away, and I had just about gotten through it. And the lady that was talking to me said, honestly, you've got to find out if there's a lookalike. I said, well, I think I'll give that a and so she said, what's your name? I said, my name is Bob. And then at that moment, my lady friend, who's a big brat, said, Bronson, look at all this delicious salad I got.
Oh, no.
And so anyway, so I gave her a look, and the lady who was asking me to be in the Bronson lookalike contest wandered off. Anyway, after dinner, she didn't know what to make of it. So then after dinner, I said to my friend, hold on, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And when I came out, she was talking to the lady. And she said, this lady, now she understands it's really you. She wants to know, could you take a picture? I said, of course I will. And then she said to me, you know, my mother is in an iron lung. And we get your things sometimes and show them on the TV set at the hospital, and we have a giggle. That's the only thing that makes you laugh. I said, you're kidding me.
Aww.
And she said, no, I'm not. And I said, well, I'm sorry I was a brat and didn't tell you it was me. She said, oh, that's all right now. And we took
now,
the pictures.
Yeah.
And she, we were, you know, hugging and taking pictures of the camera. And it was fun because I got what I needed. I just wanted to eat my dinner. And then she got what she needed, which was 10,000 pictures, and her husband take pictures and stuff. It was cute, but that's the way it goes.
That is the way it goes. Well, Bronson, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You are so delightful. And best of luck on the Bronson Pinchot Project. I will definitely be watching 10:30 p.m. Saturdays on the DIY Network, right?
Yes, baby.
You're the best. Thanks, Bronson. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. That was Bronson Pinchot, ladies and gentlemen. He is awesome and very funny. I like him. Thanks for listening. Thank you for NPR West and Adam Janis and Leo, who's amazing, and Think Thin Products, thinkproducts.com. Thanks for listening.